I never thought I would say this, but when a preacher takes off their watch to set the time, it means absolutely nothing. It's just a spiritual gesture. For you to have an idea, it's one of those I've learned from men of God. I thank God for where God has been taking my ministry. When I left this fellowship, most of you knew me purely as just a worshiper and, you know, just ushering people into God's presence through music. But even then, God had been stirring things in me. I was still speaking. I was still preaching. But it's amazing that in all those years, the doors were never open for me to preach in KCFA. I was preaching in a lot of other places. But I thank God because of open doors to do ministry within KCFA as a speaker. And I'm just honored by what God is doing. He has strategically placed some very prophetic people in my life who've been putting the fire of God under me, that have ushered me. You know, a prophet comes into your life not to tell you something new, but to confirm what God has already put in you. They just give you a little shove and tell you, come on, get up and do it. And there's a crazy prophet in a little town called Tylertown, Mississippi, very paternal man of God, who just gave me an ultimatum, and I had to just get out and do what God was calling me to do. And hence what God is just reviving and igniting in me. I want us to go to the Word of God. This afternoon, I want to speak to us about Moses and how the things that God was kind of helping Moses to do. When it's a long passage, so I'll just jump back and forth, but I'm going to dwell on Exodus 35 and 36. So we'll be picking scriptures here and there. But today I really just want to spend some time here to challenge some unconventional gifts in some people in here. I thank God that Bishop got here and spoke about we have to do something about our own people. Because too long we have relied on people who are in the fivefold ministry to do the work. But God has a calling upon each one of us. There's something, a deposit that God has put in every single one of us that is supposed to be a part of the building of the work of God. Praise God. So today I'm here. Give me an amen ever so often so I know that you're with me. So I'm here to challenge somebody's gift, you know, to stir you up to think about some things you need to be doing for God that perhaps you have put on the back burner and you're no longer attending to anymore. I'm here to push somebody out of their comfort zone that you may enter into the realm where God is calling your gift to operate. Because too long some of us have put the gifts that God has clearly pointed out to us on the back burner because I can't preach, I can't sing, I can't usher. Oh my God, I can't be an intercessor. What am I going to do? But I'm here to remind you there is a deposit that God has put in you that is what he's asking you. He wants to stir up today. The spoon of God needs to get into somebody's belly and do some stirring up of some gift to get up and work. Praise God. Not everybody is going to preach. Not everybody is going to usher. Not everybody can sing. Praise God. But there are lots of things that God is calling us to do, and the church and the work of God is under construction. And I'm asking, what is your role? You know, God is calling builders and he's calling forth material to use in the building of his work before he returns. But there are no builders. The construction site is bare. There are no builders. There are no stones. There is no gold. So I want us to go to a place where the very first time when God was calling Moses and telling him, I think it's in Exodus 25, where he told him, build me a sanctuary that I may dwell among them. And from there on, we see God beginning to give Moses instructions about what he needed for the building. So in that area of the scripture, it's a lot of verses, so I'm going to skip around quite a bit. I want to just put this in context before we read a couple of verses. Moses had, you know, when God told Moses, build me a sanctuary that I may dwell among this people, he called Moses away from the people. Actually, the children of Israel were accustomed to Moses leaving them for a time so he could get instructions about what they needed. If they were hungry, God had to give Moses instructions about what to do. Sometimes Moses was not very clear in following through. He hid some things when he was supposed to speak to some things. But they got what they needed because Moses always found a way to communicate with God to get what they needed. And the Bible says that God spoke to Moses as a man speaks to a friend. So Moses was always there to be like an in-between for them to God. So in this part of the scripture, Moses, in Exodus 35, where I will dwell, Moses had just returned from the mountain with the Ten Commandments, as well as instructions for the building of the tabernacle. And he had come away, if you read from Exodus 24 all the way to, I think, 35, Moses was, 34, he was receiving instructions about the things that God required for the building. And as Moses was up in the mountain receiving the instructions, things were going on in the camp. The children of Israel, in their impatience, had bullied Aaron into building a golden calf. And we are all familiar with that. They gathered all their gold, they gathered all their stuff, and they melted this stuff together, and they made a golden calf, and they worshipped this thing. And Exodus 32, Moses was angry when he came down. Remember, he was coming down with Joshua, and Joshua thought, oh, maybe something wrong is going on in the camp. And Moses said, nah, something is going on, because God had told Moses, come on, haste and go back, because these people are doing something that is amiss. And Joshua thought it was the sound of war. And Moses said, no, go down there. And when Moses got down and he saw what was happening, what did he do? He got this thing, he got angry, and he broke this calf and he crushed it. The Bible says he crushed it into powder, Exodus 32 verse 20, and threw the powder in water and made the children of Israel drink it. I don't know what kind of a mixture that is. Those of you who used to drink mix, you know, in high school, the way you used to put cocoa and sugar and water and drink it. I mean, you guys can't do that right now. It tastes horrible. So can you think of water and gold crushed in powder? It's been stirred up and they drank it. And then Moses said, who is on the Lord's side? And the Levites stood by Moses. They stepped aside and they stood by Moses. Then Moses asked them, go into the camp and kill everybody who was worshiping this golden calf. And 3,000 Israelites were killed that day. And as though God had not quite gotten through with punishment, because he says, thou shalt have no other gods but me. So God was really on a move of punishment. He went ahead at the end of Exodus 32, and then he sent a plague among them, and more of them died. And so, I want you to just stay with me. I'm trying to lay a foundation here for what I'm going to say. I'm talking about construction. The construction of the church, not the building, but the work of God. And what is your role? So the instructions that God had given Moses at this time were kind of on the back burner, as God was on punishment mode, teaching these people a lesson about you dared to worship something else. And so as God was still continuing to punish these people, they started to move again after Moses had them drink this, and some of them had been killed and a plague had come among them, and then they started to move. They continued on with the journey, but in Exodus 33, again, God said God was still not done. God commanded the children of Israel, Exodus 33 verse 5 and 6, God commanded them to strip themselves of their ornaments at Mount Horeb. So they strip everything. Let's just read that one. That's Exodus 33. Verse 5. For the Lord had said unto Moses, say unto the children of Israel, ye are a stiff-necked people. I will come up into the midst of thee in a moment and consume thee. Therefore now put off thine ornaments from thee, that I may know what to do unto thee. And the Israelites left off all their ornaments from Mount Horeb onward. So think about how this happened. God told them, strip all your ornaments that I may know what I will do with it. Think about a scenario of when you were a kid and you did something wrong. And you knew your mom was coming home or your dad in the evening and you broke the glass, the very nice china. Okay, do you have that visual? And then they said, Catherine, I will not punish you today. Sit on that one for a while. But just make sure that you're ready. You're good and ready for a paddling, you know? So God deferred what he was going to do and said, for right now, just take your ornaments off as I consider. And then keep moving. We'll talk later. That punishment is on hold. Are you with me? So they stripped off their ornaments and they kept moving. Now let's back up to the instructions that God gave Moses. So when he came down and all this punishment had been shittim wood and oil for the light and spices for anointing oil and for the sweet incense and onyx stones and stones to be set for the ephod and for the breastplate. And every wise-hearted among you shall come and make all that the Lord hath commanded. Then he continues on to give instructions about what all these things were for. Remember, God was responding to a need to dwell among the children of Israel. And then he goes ahead and talks about the different elements. And as well, when Moses was coming down, he was even given designs about the length of the curtain, the color of everything that was going to be included there, the priest's garments, what was needed for that. So those are the things God said. And the, you know, like gold and silver, those were to be used for the mercy seat, for the vessels, for the candlesticks. Brass was for the laver. Blue, purple, and scarlet fabric, that was for the curtains in the sanctuary. And the portion that I don't have enough time to read right now is who was supposed to bring these things. The blue, the purple, the scarlet, which were for the curtains, the fabric, that was brought by the women. The fine linen and the goat's hair, that was for the curtains in the sanctuary as well. The women brought that as well. Ram skin, which was dyed red, badger skin. This was for covering the tabernacle once it was constructed to protect it from the elements. And shittim or acacia wood, this was for making the boards, the incense altars, altar of the burnt offering. And that was brought by the men. Oil for the light. This was brought by the leaders. Oil for the light was brought by the leaders. Spices for the anointing oil and the sweet incense was brought by the leaders. Onyx stones, which these ones were used, and the stones for the ephod and the breastplates that were put on the priest's garment, those ones were specifically brought by the leaders. So there were specific instructions that God gave Moses to give to the children of Israel about what was required. And it was very specific, because if you read the whole chapter, you get an idea of exactly the measurements and everything that God required for each and every one of these things. And so Moses here comes and says, okay, come on, people, after all the punishment, he said, here is what God wants. Remember, they gave up their gold and their ornaments and their precious stuff for building the golden calf, right? So that was gone. Then God at Mount Horeb said, strip of your ornaments as I consider what I'm going to do with you guys and keep moving. And then Moses comes with instructions. God needs gold. God needs silver. God needs acacia wood. When they built the calf, they had to melt the ornaments to melt it into this thing, right? They needed wood to light a fire to get that job done, right? So they had no acacia wood anymore. That was gone. They had no ornaments. They had no wood. Are you with me? And Moses said, I'm just reading the script of what he gave me. Here is what he's asking for. And he goes on and says that, in verse 20, of chapter 35, and all the congregation of the children of Israel departed from the presence of Moses. They knew after the instructions. You know, Moses was accustomed to these people. When God said something, they would complain first about, but Moses. This time they said nothing. They left the presence of Moses, even though Moses was asking for things they didn't have. Are you still with me? And verse 21, and they came. And they came. Everyone whose heart was stirred him up, and everyone whom his spirit made willing, and they brought the Lord's offering for the work of the tabernacle of the congregation. And for all his service and for holy garments. They came, both men and women, as many as were willing-hearted, brought bracelets, earrings, rings, tablets, jewels of gold, every man that offered an offering of gold unto the Lord. They brought blue, they brought scarlet, verse 22, 23, 24, and 25. Verse 25, all the women that were wise-hearted. All the women that were wise-hearted did spin with their hands. Let me read the Amplified. And all the women who had ability and were wise-hearted spun with their hands and brought what they had spun of blue and purple and scarlet stuff and fine linen. All the women who had ability and whose hearts stirred them up in wisdom spun the goat's hair. The leaders brought onyx stones to be set for the ephod and for the breastplate, spices and oil for the light and for the anointing and for the fragrant incense. Remember, the instructions that God had given Moses was the spices had to be very specific according to what the apothecary had instructed. So you didn't just come and pour everything in there. There was specific, you know, if you ever visit a perfume maker, there are specifics of what needs to be in there. And this is what God required. And verse 29, we're still on 35. And the children of Israel brought a willing offering unto the Lord, every man and woman whose heart made them willing to bring for all manner of work which the Lord had commanded by the hand of Moses. So let's stay there a little bit. They brought, remember, they were out. They ran out. Because they had spent it, they had used it for the building of the calf, or they had been stripped of it, but somehow they managed to bring. It's important that these guys had been in the wilderness for years, for a long time. There was no marketplace to go and replenish their gold and to accumulate wealth. All these were things they brought out of Egypt with them. There was no Jareds. There was no K's. There was no federal bank. There was nowhere to go and pick up stuff. Those cute little golden bars. There was nowhere to get them. There in the desert, they brought acacia wood. Where did they get it? They brought, the women went and spun fabric in the wilderness. How? In the wilderness, they were spinning fabric. And if you read on, the thickness of the curtains was not like a little thing like this. Those curtains were dense that God had instructions for how they were to be made. What I find really interesting here is while the children of Israel were wasting their gifts on the golden calf, Moses at the same time was receiving instructions about what to do with the very gift they were wasting. Huh? Moses was receiving instructions. Do you think God was off in his timing? He's giving instructions about this much quantity of what he needs for them to build a sanctuary, for him to dwell among them, and these guys are spending it. They are wasting it. God was aware that a supernatural renewal of the gifts would be needful. He anticipated. God didn't go on panic mode and have a task force committee immediately. Oh, what are we going to do? They're in the wilderness. Where is the gold going to come from? Now, think about it. When Adam and Eve were causing their mess in the Garden of Eden, God had Jesus in mind. Because he was before there was time. Right? God was not like, oh, plan B. No, no, no. Jesus was before Adam and Eve. Right? Oh, my God. God is never surprised by our stuff. When Samson was messing up with Delilah, God knew that his name could not be drawn in the mud. He knew that when this man dies, he's going to have an effect greater than when he was alive. So God anticipated that even without his eyes, he was going to have an impact in his death. Let me go back to the gift. God has predestinated you, my brother, my sister. His plan for your life was already in place. Let me say this. His plan for my life was already in place before my mess began. While I, Lillian, was prostituting the gift of God, he knew that I would need to stand here and speak. He didn't go on panic mode when I was being careless with the gift. Oh, I don't know who that's for. That's for me. I feel like I'm preaching to me. God, his finger was on my life even when I was oblivious to him. I'm talking about gifts. The gift of God is irrevocable. So when God put a deposit in you, he was not panicked when you were using it to do whatever it is you cared to do. Do you look at some people gifted and you go, wow. And then you're wondering, why aren't they doing that in the house of God? No, God is not going like, how will I, what to do? God is relaxed. He's relaxed. And what, you know, he says in Psalms 139, I think, before even your substance was formed in your mother's womb, he knew you. He numbered the days of your life before they were. So you think God is panicked when you're doing your stuff? Oh, no, he's not. He says in Isaiah 46, I think it's verse 10, he declared the end before the beginning. He says, my counsel shall stand. I will do my pleasure. He just sits there and says, I got this. I got this. You can run around all you want. I got this. He's going back to the children of Israel. He was aware that their gifts would run out. And he's even the one who told them, strip those things. Leave them at Mount Horeb. Even though the instruction says he's going to need gold and silver, acacia wood, onyx stones, you know, perfumes and all that. But he also knew a renewal. He was not going to recycle. Recycle and renewal is different. Recycle is we take this bottle, it goes back into the system, and then we reuse it. This bottle actually, it says made from recycled material. The gift that God was talking about was not going to be recycled, was going to be renewed. And here's something. God wanted them to build a sanctuary, a tabernacle, that he knew they would be carrying with them, symbolic of his presence, for a long time. So that's why he needed the things like the badger skin and all that to cover it and to keep it from the elements. Because when we go forward, fast forward to all those kings that went to battle and gave up the tabernacle and he came back and all that, it was the same tabernacle. There was no makeover. I don't know if you read, there was a makeover somewhere of the tabernacle. It's the same one. So God knew that the gifts that the children of Israel came from Egypt with would be no good for creating a tabernacle where he would dwell. Anything that came out of Egypt was not going to be useful in building the tabernacle. So when he was saying strip, he said, any Egyptian gold? Not for me. He was going to create new gold in the wilderness. He was going to create new fabric, was going to be spun in the wilderness. Because he said, I cannot dwell in something that came out of Egypt. You know, a lot of us, when we get saved, we say, I just changed my partner. But I'm still dancing anyway. You need a new move. Because how will you know that's what recycle is? That you're recycling the same dance. In the house of God, you're singing the same song you sang in the nightclub, and you're saying, I just changed the lyrics. Worshippers, you can't take the song that Michael Jackson sang and come here and say, I changed the words. God is not in that. Things from Egypt, God doesn't live in them. That, oh, I was doing spoken word in the clubs. I'll just change the words. Oh no, tell God, God, renew my gift. When you get saved, when we get these young people to come to the Lord, tell them, yo, watch out, Poinje. God will renew it. God will renew it. Because the gift that God put in them has nothing to do with Egypt. Because the gift is irrevocable, the devil has nothing to give. So he's just counterfeiting. So let them strip what the devil is counterfeiting and say that God renew this gift and start over. Oh my good Lord. The gift has to be renewed because God cannot dwell in the same place that all the mess was happening. Oh my God. Jesus could not be born with the seed of man. It was the seed of God. Because how are we going to be redeemed with a recycled seed? Oh, some people get that tomorrow when they go to work. The source of redemption could not be conceived with the seed of man. Nothing that came out of Egypt can be used to construct the work of God. That is for somebody. God is doing a new thing. He says, before the day was in Isaiah 43, I am He. So if that is our God, why would you say, I'm just going to change the lyrics? I'm just going to do the same thing I did need to twist. I'll just twist it a little bit. And then we'll put Jesus in. You know those three word songs that people sing and then you hear Jesus somewhere in the rap. Jesus. Oh no, I need to hear what you're saying. Because if it's recycled from where you used to be, I don't want it. Oh, glory to God. But you know, God is so merciful. God is so gracious that He renewed all their gifts. Remember, they all departed from the presence of Moses, verse 20. And then they came. Everyone who was of a willing heart. What I find interesting here, God renewed everybody's gift. All these children of Israel, He renewed everybody's gift. And then He invited them of their own free will to bring the gift. He did not bully them into bringing the gift. It says those who are of a willing heart. I think we've read that, right? How amazing is God that He renews that gift, Pastor, and then He allows you free will to appraise the gift and decide for yourself whether you're going to bring it to God. God does not place a demand on your gift. It's yours. You messed up. You prostituted the gift. You created an idol. You worshipped it. God, in His mercies, renews the gift. And then He doesn't demand it. He says, if you want, you bring the gift. God is giving you free will to appraise your gift and figure out how much are you willing to spend on God. That's your business. To know how much does God deserve. Remember, you are the one who needs a tabernacle. You need the presence of God among you. And God is saying, I'm not going to bully you guys to bring the gifts, but I will renew them. If you're of a wise heart, work the gift and bring it to God. See, sometimes the request for the gift, not the command for the gift, the request for the gift for the work of God comes after we've been ignorant to the gift. But God says, okay, you are ignorant. I will renew the gift. And then he says, now you can give it to me if you want. But sometimes even after salvation, some of us feel inadequate. We feel like our past haunts us. The things I did with the gift, oh my God. God can't take this one. We disqualify ourselves sometimes. You have been saved. God has renewed the gift. He didn't recycle it. But now he's saying, do you want to bring it for the building of the work? That's your call. But some of us disqualify ourselves because we feel inadequate. Or we say, somebody else can do that better than me. If the women brought something different, the men brought something different. I'm talking about, now I'm moving to the diversity of the gifts. Because they're so different, but sometimes we say, well, you know what? I can't preach like Bishop. So my gift, first of all, where I've been, you guys, you don't know where I've been. There is no way I can do that. Even though you're aware of the gift that God has put in you. But you disqualify yourself. There's an African proverb that says this. If you think, I've paraphrased, if you think you're too small or your gift is too insignificant to make a difference, you have never spent a night with a mosquito in your tent. Just one mosquito. You think he's insignificant? That guy can rain terror on you just that whole night. And you're saying your gift is small? That thing is gifted to terrorize you all night. You could turn all the lights, but you can't even see it. That was a commercial moment, a joke, you know. Some of you are looking so serious. You are praising your gifts. I thought I'd throw that in there. So I don't know what you need to go and do with your gift. Because there are some gifts that it's easier, when they're renewed, it's easier to put them to work. But there are some gifts that we need to go and spin the fabric. The women have to go to the spinning wheel and spin again because their role is for building the curtains. Everybody's role in the tabernacle is different. You know, the person who has the vocals to sing, they can even sing a cappella. You know, they won't change the words. Like we said, we just agree that, right? You won't say, I just changed my partner. Let's turn it up. No, nobody remembers that old song. But there's some gifts that need a little bit more work. So that the women had to go and spin. The acacia wood may take a little bit more because we're in the wilderness. There is no wood. I don't know where that wood came from, but I know there was some work required. Right? Everybody's gift is different. We talked about what the leaders will bring. But all this is for the building of the tabernacle. The gifts are different. But you know, what happens sometimes is we despise the gift, like I talked about the mosquito, or we ignore the gift that God has placed in us because, I'll step on some people's toes here, it does not fit the religious box. God has given you a gift. But you just are like, this one doesn't fit. I have gone through the gifts in the Bible. I can't see where this gift fits in. I used to be able, I know I'm gifted. You know, sometimes you know the gift God has put in you because you don't struggle to operate in it. You know, some people are just gifted writers. You know, it just comes. Their thoughts just come. But some people, they can't even get two sentences out if they need to write. You know, there are people who, we go to the obvious ones of, oh, I can sing, I can't sing, I can preach, I can't preach, things like that. But somebody in here has a gift that doesn't fit those ones. But then religiosity, which is man-made, to me, religiosity is a man-made type of operation or calling. It teaches us to blend in. Religiosity teaches you to blend in and confines us
to duplicity. I'll say that again. Religiosity teaches you to blend in and confines you to duplicity. Because those who've operated in religion, if you color outside of the box, Bishop, what happens? This is not working. You need to sing the way we sing. Don't raise your voice. Don't clap your hands. Whatever it is. Because this is a religious operation. We have to have duplicity. Are you with me? And it's man-made. Because religion is constructed by men. All these mutarataras that men create, if we do this for 3 minutes, then this for 5 minutes, then this, and if you go 7 minutes, they're like, eh, where? But I'm trying to stir up somebody's gift. That's my mission here today. Spirituality, which is God ordained, and I'm not talking about agnostics and all this. People who the universe call it positive energy, all that stuff. I'm talking about a relationship with God. You know, a spiritual connection, a relational connection with God calls us to stand out and liberates us to authenticity. Spirituality, which is a connection with God, calls us to stand out and liberate us to authenticity. You have room to be authentic. You have room to be different because it is God ordained. It's born of God. If it's born of men, they confine you to how you can operate because it belongs to them. Hey, well, since 1912, this is how we've done it. How dare you do it any differently? Because it's a religious operation. Are you hearing me? So some of us, our gifts are so boxed in because we've confined ourselves to a religious operation. God has called you to blend and work the gift. Instead of struggling to chop your gift to fit into those mutarataras, ask God to show you how it fits in the building and beautification of the tabernacle. Praise the Lord. God is inviting your uniqueness of your gift. God is inviting your creativity into the building of the tabernacle. Because what did we read? Some people brought gold, brass, silver, onyx stones, purple, goat's hair, badger skin, spices. That's all different things. God loves beauty. He loves creativity. The thing that's fascinated me most this weekend as I've been out here is the changing of the colors. Oh, the leaves. Oh, that's beautiful. I've just been going like this with my camera. Because they're all different. God loves that difference. In changing of seasons, he loves the differences. It doesn't have to all be, you know, factory made just in a box. But some people's gifts here are choked, are suffocating. Because you actually put it on the back burner because you come in here and you're wondering, I can't fit in the worship team. I can't fit in the leadership. I can't fit in the children's ministry. I don't know what gift you have in you. Maybe you're a painter. And you're wondering, I am so gifted in painting. I keep painting and it's so easy for me. I can do watercolors. I can do oil paintings. What do I do with these things? And you're thinking, how can I use this to serve God? Oh, I have ideas. Anybody in here have ideas what you could do with the paintings in the house of God? I'll tell you in a bit. Because gifts are different. Or bring those paintings, we will give them to Ben, who will auction them, and we will meet our target. Oh, I know how to braid hair. How would that serve God? Surely braiding hair. How would that? Oh my God. Put your flyers here and say 50% off. I'll braid two for one. Raise the money. Give it to the treasurer. We meet our goal. Everybody's gift does not have to be here in this walls. Because can you imagine when this woman was spinning the purple fabric, It was relevant. There is no gift that God has put in you that is irrelevant. It has something to do with the calling of God. But there are various categories like I'm talking about. I want to move, try and move a little bit. I don't even know where I put my watch. I told you guys I was going to pay attention to it. Let me try and wrap this up quick. There were various categories of people in the working of the tabernacle. Moses, as we all know, was the visionary. He was the mouthpiece of God. He was the pastor and the overseer. He's the one who, he was the bearer of the blueprints of the tabernacle. Praise the Lord. And you've had Bishop stand here. He's a visionary and the bearer of the vision God has given him. So he was giving us a glimpse of the blueprint. And then he has people working with him who are operating, doing different things to execute. So there's always a visionary. For the last several years, Brother Lucas has been the visionary here. He stands here and says what could be done. And we line up in terms of how we're going to fit in for the building, right? Praise God. And we read in that portion of scripture in Exodus 35, there were those who gave the gifts. The gifts were renewed and there are those who brought the gifts. And they brought different things like we talked about. So there are those in here who are financiers of the work of God. There are those who give even of the gift of their abilities. There are those who give of their substance. There are those who give of their ideas, different things that they may have. Then there are those who are skilled in working with the gift. There are those who bring the gifts. Then there are those who work with the gifts. I don't have too much time, but there were two gentlemen, Bezalel and Aholiab. Let me read quickly. Exodus 35 from verse 30. And Moses said unto the children of Israel, see, the Lord had called by name Bezalel, the son of Uri, and the son of Ur, the tribe of Judah. He has filled him with the Spirit of God in wisdom, in understanding, and in knowledge, in all manner of workmanship, and to devise curious works, to work in gold and in silver and in brass, in the cutting of stones to set them, in the carving of wood to make any manner of cunning work, and put in his heart that he may teach. Both he and Aholiab, the son of Ahisamach, of the tribe of Dan, has filled with the wisdom of heart to work the manner of work of the engraver, of the cunning workman, embroider in blue, in purple, in scarlet, the weaver, even them that do the work. Then he goes on to chapter 36 and says, then wrote Bezalel and Aholiab and every wise-hearted man in whom the Lord put wisdom and understanding to know how to work all manner of work for the service of the sanctuary, according to all that the Lord had commanded. Moses called Bezalel and Aholiab and every wise-hearted man in whose hand the Lord had put wisdom, even everyone whose heart stirred him up to come unto the work to do it. They received of Moses all the offering which the children of Israel had brought for the work of the service of the sanctuary to make it withal, and they brought yet unto him free offerings every morning. Verse 4, and all the wise men that wrought all the work of the sanctuary came every man from his work which they made. And they spoke unto Moses, saying, the people bring much more than enough for the service of the work which the Lord commanded to make. And Moses gave commandment, and they caused it to be proclaimed throughout the camp, saying, let neither man nor woman make with more work for the offering of the sanctuary. So the people were restrained from bringing. For the staff, verse 7, the staff they had was sufficient for all the work to make, and it was too much. You read your Bible, verse 7, the staff they had was sufficient to do all the work and more, or it was too much. That's how much they brought. The renewed gift, they kept bringing. There is it. It was too much. Moses sent a proclamation. Tell the people, no more. It is too much. Selah, dwell on that a minute. The gift that you have, you need to bring it until Moses stands here and says, enough. We have reached our target. We don't need any more.
The worship team is full. Ushers full. Children's ministry full. Oh, please don't bring. Just keep whatever you have. It is too much. But these gifts were being brought, as we have read, they were brought to Moses. There were men appointed to receive the gifts. And then there was Eholiab and Bezalel who were gifted in working the gift and teaching the gift. Teaching the gift. And Moses went ahead and described the qualities of Bezalel and Eholiab. First of all, Bezalel was of the tribe of Judah. You need a worshiper in the committee. You need a worshiper in the committee. Eholiab was of the tribe of Dan. Judges. You need a judge in the committee. If you have a worshiper and a judge, you're okay. Filled with the Spirit of God, has wisdom and understanding, knowledge and intelligence, can devise artistic designs and work with gold, silver, and brass. Craftsmen can cut and carve wood, engravers. And I love this. They know how to teach the skills. For the work of God to be effective, there has to be people who can teach. There has to be a mentoring spirit. Isaiah 50 verse 4 says, God, give me a teachable spirit. There has to be somebody who can teach. On the flip side, there has to be somebody who's teachable. Oh my. Eholiab and Bezalel's work will be so hard if people are not teachable. Because we need engravers, we need curvers, we need weavers. We need people to be skilled to work the work. And Moses, people wore different hats. And Moses pointed out the gifts. Let me try and wrap up this quick. We already have established there was an abundance of the gifting. Even though they had run out, they were not impulsive this time. They went back and brought it and kept bringing every morning. Is there an overflow? Is there a surplus that we went and brought the renewed gift? Praise God. Have you disqualified your gift and said, your worship team imeja, that fellowship, they're enough workers. And then are there Eholiabs and Bezalels in here? You know how to work with the gift, but you're sitting back there just seeing the house just go awry. And yet God has gifted you to teach the gift. There are people who are gifted, but it is raw. They don't know how to work the gift. There are people who you can see, men, they are gifted, but they need mentorship. They need a covering. Do you see those people who shoot up like a fire? And then shop, 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 they are like a wave. 6 months later, you ask, uya worshipa lienda api? Amefifia, pew. There are no Bezalel and Eholiabs to teach the gift and mentor the gift. The tabernacle is hurting. Construction is on hold. There are no builders, there are no gifts, there are no teachers, there are no engravers, there are no weavers, there's nobody. Everybody's looking out for numero uno. The gift was renewed, that's mine for keeps. Who's bringing something for the building of the tabernacle? We all want the glory of God. We all are crying, God, send your glory. And God is like, what are you doing with your gift? And I've already talked about your gift is not insignificant. It doesn't matter whether you're an event organizer. And you're wondering, what has that got to do with the building of the tabernacle? Go to Moses and ask Moses, what do I do with this gift? I'm gifted in spinning fabric. I'm an artist. I'm whatever it is. I am a dancer. That's the gift. It is useful because if we want the glory of God, your gift is needed. Praise the name of Jesus. Glory to God. Without the gift, there is no tabernacle. Where is God gonna meet us if we cannot create an atmosphere for him to operate because our gifts have been accounted for? You know, David cried out. He was excited about building a tabernacle for God and a house for God because he was living in a house made of cedar. But God said, you are a man of war. You just collect the material. Solomon will build. Some of you are not builders. You just collect.
Some of you don't know how to teach, because if we put you to teach, you will kill the church. Some of us don't have a pastoral spirit. We say, round one, round two, umekata, out. But there are people who say, come, let's reason together again. No, stay, my favorite line this year, stay in your lane. Stay in your lane. If you don't know your lane, go back to driving school. Ask them, which lane goes which way? Maybe you need to exit and go figure out where you're going. This is for another day, but know the direction of your gift. Because once you figure out the direction of your gift, God pours a grace to operate in that gift. Because if your gift exceeds the grace for the gift, you're in trouble. If you think you know how your gift operates, but you have not become accustomed with the grace that covers that gift, it's a matter of time and you will fall. Praise the name of Jesus. Let me close this. We want the glory. If we go to Exodus 40, the end, it talks about how the glory now showed up because they had followed instruction and the gift had been accounted for. Nobody was a spectator. Everybody had brought their gift. We like this scripture that the gift of God will usher me before great men. Oh, that just doesn't happen. The gift has to be worked in the direction God has ordained it for those doors to begin opening. I can testify that my gift has opened doors for me before great men. It took me time to figure out the direction of my gift and the grace for my gift. Praise be to God. Let me close this. What are you doing with your gift? Have you given up on your gift? Maybe because of your past, what you did with it? Are you a prisoner of your past mistakes? What you did with the gift? God is giving you a second chance. He's saying, I will renew it. It will be usable for my tabernacle and the glory will come. Or is your capacity to give your gift clouded because you're in the wilderness and you've become a hoarder? You're holding the gift for tomorrow because you're thinking, we are in the wilderness. If I put this gift to work, how about tomorrow? Give the gift. Are you in your lane? Are you positioned and working in your section of the tabernacle? Or there needs to be a reorganization of or a shift of where you were. Praise the name of the Lord. Are you a Bezalel and a Holiab that you need to step up and say, I know how to do this. I'm going to teach a few people how to do it. I'm blessed because my legacy in Baltimore is alive and well. Because 10 years ago, I recognized I was a Bezalel. And I can confidently say I trained these guys. Praise God. The altar is never too crowded with workers that you stay out. Bishop is calling out for people to work. He said the politicians are not going to change the state of the church or the state of the work of God, of our people. It's our gifts that need to be accounted for. There are people who know how to do grassroots and get people working outside of these walls. But your gift, my brother, my sister, needs to be accounted for. Construction is on hold. Is it because you're missing? Is the work of God moving or stagnant? And what is your role in its movement or its stagnation? You appraise your gift. Don't just think about the things that are accounted for in the gifts in the Bible. There is something you can do. And I am going to tell you, whatever you do professionally, if God is the one who opened that door for you, it is directly correlated to the calling of God in your life. I don't care if you work in a nursing home. That is the lane God has assigned you right now. Are you part of the building of the tabernacle? I don't know. I figured mine out. I'm still working. Every day I'm asking God, how does this relate? How does this gift you've given me relate to the building of the tabernacle? We want the glory of God. But what are we doing about it?
The gift is already resident in us. I'm coming back to the heart of worship.